Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune into Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Enyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, creation speaker and software engineer.
Next week, Fred, we're going to do another, if the Lord tarries, we will broadcast another of my favorite kind of program.
List shows.
Yes.
Yep. And it's RSR's list of brain dead patients who recovered. This was requested by one of our listeners, right?
Yes. And now, wait a minute. Brain dead. You can't recover if you're brain dead, can you?
Well, that's what everybody believes. I mean, that's what the media pushes. And
it turns out, Fred, from our list next week, people are going to see that folks who were diagnosed as brain dead, they do things like get married afterward.
Yeah, that's right.
They get up. They learn how to walk again. Yep. Because, you know, typically they went through some terrible injury.
One guy was in the morgue and kicking out of the bag to get out of it.
Another person is, they're ready to operate and remove her eyes. And she gasps and she's alive.
Yeah, amazing.
These people go home. And so, wow.
So we've been documenting this list for some time.
Yes.
Of brain dead patients that actually recovered.
In fact, we do pretty well in Google searches on this topic.
That's right. If you search for something like brain dead people who recover, we're number two in Google searches out of probably, what, over a million pages.
Yes.
Easily.
Millions.
Yeah, millions of pages. So number two. So the topic for today's show is an atheist listener of RSR, of Real Science Radio. This person commented on a YouTube video, and there's lots of comments on our videos, the Hydroplate video. And
about the global flood.
Yep.
And this atheist is sort of making fun of us.
Yeah, he or she's making fun of us.
Yeah.
And so that's
you
what we're going to talk about.
Sort of like in real life these days, you can't tell.
Yeah, so you responded. You approved the comment, and then you responded, and it was great. So we're going to talk about that. But before that, Bob, I did want to mention the Wednesday show that you had was fantastic. That was really fascinating.
Kathy Griffin, the whole country.
What a show.
Was talking about that left-wing, liberal,
far left-wing,
godless, sexually perverse, immoral comedian, alleged comedian.
Quote-unquote comedian,
Kathy Griffin. Kathy Griffin. And to be provocative, to be disgusting, she's imitating ISIS. She holds up what looks like a decapitated head of the president of the United States, dripping with blood.
Yeah, that's right.
It was like ISIS, but Fred, that was a fake head, whereas we put up a meme that shows Kathy Griffin and below her, the president of Planned Parenthood. Cecile Richards.
Yep.
And she's holding up a real head, actually decapitated, of a little child. And the meme says, be outraged too when it really happens.
When it happens. Really happens. Yep.
KGov.com/Griffin.
Yep.
So, folks, you know, it's horrific what she did. I'm thrilled CNN fired her and all the grief she's received from even so many left-wingers.
Yeah. Yep.
But the reality is we're actually doing this to children in America.
Yeah. So they can go to rsr.org and go to the Wednesday show. You can listen to the broadcast by streaming. You can download it or stream it.
We've archived our programs. We have decades of shows.
Yeah. Yep.
And Fred, it's powerful, the resource we have online.
Yeah, definitely a powerful resource.
And now for today's topic of today's show, it's all about information.
This atheist listener of Real Science Radio
commented
on one of our YouTube videos.
We have those atheist listeners?
We have atheists. We do. We definitely do.
In fact, they're on our fact-checking team.
Yeah, that's right. They're actually really good at fact-checking.
Yeah.
Because they're going to go tooth and comb through anything we say.
Absolutely.
I always vetted my stuff through them.
They have improved our articles, our videos.
That's right. Thank you very much, atheists out there.
Yeah, yeah. So at any rate, you're saying we have an atheist listening to Real Science Radio who did what?
Well, they commented on a YouTube video, the Hydroplate video, but it was somewhat unrelated topic about information. It was an interesting comment.
Because I had said, in the comments below the video. And Fred, I love our YouTube channel because the discussion threads are so intellectually fulfilling. There's nothing filthy, no vulgarity, no dripping hatred. You have to be polite to one another or the comment just won't be approved.
Yeah. You won't approve it when you're monitoring. Yeah,
similar to evolutionfairytale.com, right? Your forum.
Quality over quantity.
Quality. And so we do that. We have thousands of comments on our YouTube channel for our many videos. We've got, what, over 250,000 views. And this thuff has commented a number of times over the last couple years. So thuff, and I don't know if it's a male or a female, but thuff quoted something I had said in this thread that genetic information is not physical.
That's right. And she, the atheist, responded, what? DNA is a molecule. It doesn't get any more physical.
Right. Sort of making fun of, you know, how dumb could Real Science Radio be to not know that DNA is a molecule and molecules are physical.
That's right. So you see this pitch coming. It's really coming in slow. And
you're right.
You're just teeing off on that thing.
Yeah, exactly. But there's another guy who's watched this video and posted. His name is Gypsy Camel. People have the weirdest names
they do.
Online. But Gypsy Camel is a creationist and a Christian. And Gypsy commented about Thuth. Unrelated to this post, because this hadn't yet been approved.
You hadn't approved it yet. That's right. Yeah, I like what he said. He said, God bless you, Bob. Not only do you have great info, but you respond to it. I am edified and particularly impressed with your tolerance of that troll Thuth.
Oh, yeah, that troll. So that's an internet term. So Thuth is a troll. But we decided, of course, when we have the time, we'll interact.
Yeah.
Of course, that's our reason for being here on the air. So I responded, and this was just 2 days ago. And Fred, you and I, you commented on how fun this was, so we might as well share it with the audience.
I think we should. I mean, I really like how you word this. You do a really good job of in these responses.
We talk through
it. I agree with Gypsy Camel. Great job.
Thank you, Fred.
I'm impressed, too.
So, hello again, Thuth. I'm looking forward to when we meet, but I pray that by then we are on the same side of his throne. I know because you hate God that you are willingly ignorant. Those who heard Jesus speak 2,000 years ago, those who hated him, regardless of his perfect arguments, they rejected him nonetheless. So there is no silver bullet of scientific or intellectual brilliance that can get you to see that which you are closing your eyes tightly to avoid. Nonetheless, in my vanishing hopes of reaching you, yet in my constant confidence in reaching some, I'll take a crack at it.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Well stated.
And so then we begin. So let's share it, Fred.
It's basic physics, Bob. You go on, nothing that has mass can travel as fast as light in a vacuum.
Yeah.
But we transmit information at the speed of light via radio waves and in fiber optic cables.
Oh, so if nothing that has mass can travel at the speed of light and we send information at the speed of light, that is a proof that information does not have mass.
That's right.
That's an interesting proof of that. So some of those who are unable or unwilling to intuit that information is not physical, they can nonetheless reason to that conclusion. All they have to do is think about transmitting information at the speed of light. That's one way of doing it. But a lack of humility would keep someone from recognizing that information is not physical.
That's right. It's such a serious problem for evolution, right?
I mean, the whole materialist worldview, because they want there to be only matter, that's it.
Yeah.
You know, matter and energy, and matter that you could convert back and forth.
Yep.
They want there to be only matter. Only the physical universe is real, they claim. But if information is not physical, then their entire worldview breaks right at that point.
It sure does.
Yes.
So just imagine a robot, you know, that's made of physical mass parts and the energy, the battery pack. It's not going to do anything without a computer program, without the information to tell it what to do.
Instructions.
Yep.
So I continue with Thuth. information, including genomes, like she was making fun of us regarding the DNA molecule, doesn't get any more physical than that. Well, information, including genomes, can be coded in many different ways, all of which are symbolic. Yet the laws of physics have no symbolic logic function.
Yep.
So information cannot arise from a merely physical system. Fred, the ways that we symbolize information, I list some of those in this comment here. You deal with some of these being a programmer.
Oh, that's right. You know, hexadecimal codes, ASCII code,
binary
hieroglyphics,
code. You could go back to the ancient Egyptians, English, Greek, and Hebrew alphabets.
Yep.
These are all ways of symbolically encoding information.
Information and saying what you need to do. How is this particular thing going to work? How's this program going to run?
Yeah.
What's it going to do?
Or how did I enjoy my wife's dinner last night? Yep. Always it was fabulous.
Yep.
Then we talk about information storage and transmission, that it can be stored and transmitted in very different ways, including by voltages on a computer bus and in processors and in RAM memory and in pits on a DVD, magnetic charges that hold a database on a hard drive, or on fiber optic cables and in sound waves that are formed from human vocal cords.
Yep.
You could actually share the information of a protein encoded in a DNA molecule with your voice.
Yeah, amazing.
You could audibly express it. And there it is. And you don't lose anything. The information is fully there, whether you speak it or write it in ink on a paper, in radio waves. So the medium is not the information, like the ink on the paper.
Yeah.
The ink is not the information. Leftists, liberals, atheists, they think the ink is the information.
Yeah. And it's not. It's just like our NAND memory that we create where I work. It's trapped electrons. So, again, it's a medium that stores information, and it uses electrons to do it. But
yes,
the electrons themselves, that's not the information.
No, it's the symbolic meaning that an author has imposed onto the system.
That's right.
So
you could have a book on your NAND drive, a whole memory stick that you put into your computer.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a book on there. It's a program. But that itself, the book is information, right?
Yes.
But the memory stick you put in there, is that information?
Well, it has information
on it. Yeah.
But the stick itself is not information. So if you took a microscope and looked at the ink on a page of text, is that going to help someone understand what the information is by looking at the ink with a microscope?
Looking at the electrons in NAND, it's not going to help
Every molecule of that ink is going to be basically the same.
That's right.
It's not. Information is presented via a symbolic scheme that's imposed on the physical medium. Then the medium could be used to transmit or store information. Fred, you and I have talked about this over the years. We've been doing Real Science Radio for a long time. I'd like to give out one of our web pages that people could use to find more. Maybe we could share a bit more about this. It's rsr.org/information.
Information, yep.
And that will bring people right to a full discussion where we begin by pointing out that information is not physical.
That's right. And so you've given your great example that we just covered about transmitting data over, you know, fiber optic cables at the speed of light.
Yes.
You know, I always gave the one of weighing a flash drive after deleting half the files on it, the photos.
So you take a flash drive and you weigh it?
Yeah. Then you delete some photos on it. Does it weigh less?
Or you hire Hillary Clinton to wipe it.
That's right.
She wipes
it. You get that information-rich program that actually does the wiping.
Yes.
You know, so Bob, it would have been like you saying, Windows 10 is not physical. And then Thuth responding, the computer is a machine. It doesn't get more physical.
Right.
No, the computer contains the information.
Right.
It's not information.
So those two proofs, the speed of light and the flash drive doesn't weigh more or less when you add data to it, they demonstrate that Albert Einstein was correct when he pointed out that information is not physical.
Not physical.
I absolutely love that, Fred, that information is not physical. Yet, Fred, if you took the molecules of ink on a piece of paper or in an entire book and you just mixed them all around, mm-hmm. and so that now the book, the ink looks different on the page, you will be destroying the information.
That's right.
But if you did the same thing, let's say, with grains of sand on a beach, and you took those grains of sand and kids were playing all day and they thoroughly mixed all the grains of sand, you don't in any way destroy its ability to be a beach just because you yeah. rearrange all the parts.
Yep.
But information comes in these symbolic units, and the order of those units is vital. And it's not just repeating like a crystal or a snowflake where you got a few basic rules of physics and you just have a constantly repeating pattern.
Yep.
So this is different. So when Einstein discussed this, and he started in 1936, he talked about it again in 1944 and beyond that. In fact, we talk about this on one of our pages, rsr.org/math, one of my favorite pages of all time from Real Science Radio. But it's been called Einstein's Gulf because he pointed out that the gulf between matter and information is uncrossable. You can't get from matter to information.
Yeah, so in 1936, Einstein famously wrote, "The most incomprehensible thing about the world is that it's comprehensible."
Is that it's comprehensible. Yeah. And then in 1944, he was remarking about this atheist Bertrand Russell, and Einstein described this gulf, he said, logically unbridgeable mm-hmm. from matter to ideas.
That's right.
And then he asks, why should the ideas we conceive in our minds, mathematical constructs, why should the universe out there, the physical universe, obey the ideas we have in our mind? And it bewildered him. And the reason it bewildered him is because he was an atheist. So he had no context from which to understand that. And it's because we are thinking God's thoughts after him. God is the designer, the creator. He conceived of mm-hmm. E equals MC squared. He conceived of that. Then he implemented it. That's why it's perfect.
That's right.
And so many other examples we give on that page, rsr.org/math.
Yeah. So when the kids are on the beach moving the sand around and they form the symbols SOS, suddenly it becomes information.
Yeah, that's a great example. So when it comes to back to Thoth and genetic information, and Thoth says DNA is a molecule, it doesn't get any more physical than that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have made an assertion over the years on Real Science Radio that there is not a single scientific journal paper ever published, ever, that describes even a very vague method of how you could encode how matter and energy, just nature, could develop a system to encode a protein onto an information molecule. Just give us a wild stab at it.
Yeah. I'd be curious to hear, because I debated this Dr. Tom Schneider up at CU. He's an information scientist. And he tried to come up, he didn't publish any papers, but he tried to come up with like genetic algorithms and things like that. He tried to produce examples of naturally occurring information. He couldn't do it. And I guarantee you he didn't publish any paper on it.
No. And even if, let's say, okay, they have billions of years, trillions of years, and some amino acids formed together, 10 of them in a row, and it's like the beginning of a collagen protein. Mm-hmm. Okay, they got that. So that's just matter. But information is the instructions for assembling those 10 different amino acids in that order. So how do you go from those 10 amino acids, that chain, that polymer, into a symbolic representation of the information that explains how to build those 10, that little chain, that polymer? How do you go to that?
Yeah, well, what's even more remarkable, you know, we've had Dr. Kevin Anderson on the show, that when you read the DNA backward, you're running the program in the opposite direction. It says how to control that protein. I really want to know any programmers out there, and you're an atheist, How could you possibly believe in evolution knowing what you know about computer science?
Yes.
And how, I dare you, try to write a program that does something totally functional.
And backwards.
Yeah, it works forwards and backwards. It does something totally functional in both directions.
The machine language.
Your faith is so blind if you believe that that can happen naturalistically. It's mind-boggling.
Yes. Yeah, so,
and if you have a mutation, by the way, Bob, in one spot on that DNA, it alters the sequence on both the front
and the
back. That's how bad it is when it happens.
Yes. And that's one of the reasons why mutations are as rare as they are.
As they are, with a great quality control system in our cells. That's a whole other topic.
Yes.
But information is amazing. Oh, before we go on, one more thing, Bob, that you wrote in this response to Thuth the Atheist that, you know, is kind of up my alley. You said, consider the inventor of ASCII. So that's a symbolic language.
ASCII.
Right? ASCII codes.
That's how we get our letters and numbers on a computer screen.
On a computer screen.
Sort of.
Yeah, for the most part. So the inventor of ASCII arbitrarily assigned the letter A, capital letter A, to the number 65. Of course, when I first saw that, I'm like, Bob, you're wrong. It's 41. But then I talk in hex. You know?
Oh, yeah. So hexadecimal.
Technically, you were right because you didn't have the hex symbol
decimal
in front of it.
65. So the number 65, when a computer is putting text on the screen, like in an email, and it sees in a register in its memory, it sees the number 65, it puts a capital letter A.
That's right. It translates the 65 or the hex 41 into a capital letter A. So it's reading that from whatever, memory or whatever, how it does it. So as you were pointing out to Thuth, a scheme is not a physical system that cannot arise by material means.
Yeah, because is there a physical connection between the number 65, the value 65, and a capital letter A? Is there a physical connection between those two?
No.
There is not. Is it chemical? Is it gravity?
It's a thought in a guy's head.
Electrons?
Yeah.
Right.
He could have made it hex 42 or whatever.
He could have. Would have ruined the whole future of the world. No. It wouldn't have. It would have been perfectly fine. Because it's symbolic.
Yeah.
And because it's symbolic, it's arbitrary.
In fact, the number one, you'd think, well, would that be ASCII 1? No, it's actually ASCII 31, X 31.
Cool.
31 becomes 1.
So
X 20 becomes a space. Oh, man, Bob, you're getting me going here. Okay, I better stop.
Oh, 20 is a space. You see that often, like in a URL.
Yep.
The address of a web page, when it includes words that have spaces between them. And so you will see something like real, percent 20, percent, science, percent 20, percent radio.
Yeah, that's right.
So the 20 is hex for a blank space.
Yep.
So this cannot arise by any physical system because these are all symbolic schemes. And a symbolic scheme is not physical. There's nothing physical about it. But Fred, atheists are too fearful to acknowledge the most obvious truths about information and about physics.
That's right.
They're fearful.
I wish they would just say, you know, I hate God, be honest.
Yeah.
But don't admit to dumb.
Right. Yeah. I know what you're saying is right about information, but I hate God, so I don't care.
Yep.
They would be so much better off if they were to say that.
They would be. And there's a guy on Facebook who, in so many words, did that. A guy that I know from my fraternity who's an atheist. Mm. And in so many words, he admitted to that.
Wow.
Because he's an engineer. How can you look at this stuff and actually believe it? It's so mind-boggling.
Fred, we've been talking about Thuth the Atheist, but what's interesting is this applies to most Christian seminaries. Most Christian colleges, they are theistic evolutionists.
Yep.
They deny, based on the mainstream form of theistic evolution, they deny God a role in the origin of life. They deny God a role in the development of genetic information.
Yep.
They say
they take the easy path, they crater to peer pressure. You know, it's like global warming, gay marriage. Over 50% of people now support gay marriage, you know, because it's so bad if you don't anymore.
It's
intimidation.
I oppose it.
I do too.
Whatever it is, I'm against it. From the moment I commenced it, I've been against it. No, really, it's just horrifically perverse.
Yep.
And if you love your neighbor, you'll warn your neighbor.
That's right.
Against
it's
homosexuality.
It's a very bad lifestyle. It's a very destructive lifestyle.
It's rebellion against God. That's why it is so affirmed, because we're in the midst of the long war against God, And so you shake your fist at Jesus Christ by agreeing with the world.
Yep.
So, Fred, even though we've been talking about atheists, this is 100% applicable to mainstream theistic evolution. And we have a video. It's called Trading Genesis. When I was invited to speak on the campus of Pepperdine University,
yep,
out in Malibu, California. It's tough work. You know, somebody's got to go there.
Yep.
So many pagans out there. But what a video. It's only about maybe 40 minutes long or so. And we illustrate the absurdity of the atheist claim that this would have to arise physically. And so what it turns out is that atheists say that God doesn't exist, but in reality, what actually doesn't exist is an atheistic theory of origins.
That's right. It does not exist.
There is no atheistic theory of origins. There is none.
Yep.
And we demonstrate that in this video, Trading Genesis.
That's
it's
right.
It's so much fun.
It's missing. It's just like the Big Bang's missing antimatter.
Yes.
They're missing their theory.
Yes.
So that video is available on rsr.org/store.
Oh, it is.
Trading Genesis.
Next week's show, we've been telling folks that, Lord willing, if the Lord tarries, we will be broadcasting Real Science Radio's list of brain-dead patients who recovered.
Yeah.
It's so important, Fred, because there's a battle, a life-and-death battle, and there are issues like organ donation, which is wonderful if you could give a liver to somebody who's dying. You know, they've learned now that they could take a liver from a corpse and it works tremendously well. Not an old corpse.
Wow.
But a corpse.
Yeah.
It's really startling.
Yeah, but this is super important information.
Yeah, organ donors, doctors who say you're dead when you're not dead, as we will show in our list of real live people who were declared brain dead, and then they're ready to start cutting out their eyes, and they recover.
Yep.
And people who are brain dead, and then they end up walking and talking.
Yep.
They end up getting married. They write a book. They do whatever.
People hear brain dead, and they think this guy is dead. This person is dead. We need to unplug the life support because he's dead.
Yes.
That's how people view that, but it's just not universally true.
Careful, of course, with that diagnosis, living wills. You have to be so careful.
You do.
Because of the death mentality of the medical community in America and throughout the West.
Yeah, because a lot of people don't think of that, what you just hit right on the head, the death mentality.
Yeah.
We're not taking that into consideration when we're meeting with our lawyer or whoever who's putting together our living will
for us. And even your doctor. You know, the medical profession is overwhelmingly pro-abortion, and it's pro-euthanasia in many ways, including right here in Colorado, where the public voted, the voting public, to decriminalize doctor-assisted suicide.
Yep.
So a doctor, you know, your insurance company, you ask for a treatment, and they turn you down, but they say, but we'll pay for the prescription drug, the lethal drug to kill you. They offer that instead. And so we've asked people, would it be easier for you to see that it's wrong if they used a gun? Instead of giving someone a lethal prescription, if they gave you a gun and said, here, shoot grandma in the head because this is a euthanasia state.
Yep.
So go ahead, doctor, shoot her in the head. Would it be easier for you to recognize that this is wicked?
Yeah.
So
can you explain the difference?
Yeah. Yeah, right. So, Fred, you mentioned if someone is on life support. For years, what an honor I've had to be a spokesman for American Right to Life. Mm-hmm. And one of the things, what a great website they have, AmericanRTL.org. And one of the things they have taught 1,000 times over is that it's not inherently immoral to let a dying person die, but it is wrong to kill someone who is not dying.
Absolutely.
It's wrong. And that's what we're talking about. Denying food and water to someone who's not dying.
Mm-hmm.
Like Terry Schiavo.
What a tragic case. Oh,
where our church members at Denver Bible Church went down there and tried to bring her a cup of water. Literally.
Yeah.
So these are fundamental moral issues that it turns out have answers. And so next week's program, I think, Fred, Real Science Radio's list of brain-dead patients who recovered, I think it's very important.
Be very interesting and very important. So hopefully you'll tune in.
Yes. And until then, this is Bob Enyart and Fred Williams for Real Science Radio. May God bless you.
Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune into Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real. That's what I'm talking about.